Hey, Janet.
Yes, Brad?
I've got something to say.
Uh-huh.
I really love the skillful way you beat the other girls to the bride's bouquet.
River was deep, but I swam it.
Janet.
The future is ours, so let's plan it.
Janet.
So please, don't tell me to can it.
Janet.
I've one thing to say, and that's damn it. Janet, I love you. The road was long, but I ran it.
Man, that's great. Actor Barry Bostwick is one of the stars of the 1975 cult classic The Rocky Horror Picture Show. Next Monday, he will be part of a special screening of the film at the Palace Theater in Albany with The Kids of Albany, a shadow cast that acts out the story beneath the screen as the film plays. The Palace Theater and The Kids of Albany have been doing these screenings for the past 10 years. The kinky and outrageous musical spoof of classic horror films spawned the ultimate audience participation cult following amid a million midnight screenings. The event will be held with a pre-show meet and greet with Barry Bostwick. You may remember that Susan Sarandon and Barry Bostwick played the couple stranded in a spooky house filled with strange people from Transylvania, all under the watchful, leering eye of Dr. Frank N. Furter. It is a great pleasure to welcome Barry Bostwick to the roundtable this morning. Sir, how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm well. It's very nice to have you on the program. I want to mention, too, certainly you are known for portraying Brad Majors, but let us not forget your role as Mayor Randall Winston in Spin City, and it's a great pleasure to have you on the program.
Well, thank you. Kind of you to mention that. Yes, it's quite a journey from a guy who wears high heels and, mesh stockings and a boa to the mayor of New York City. Except, I guess, well, what is it? Once a year, the mayor does a cross-dressing kind of a media event of some sort.
We have pictures of Giuliani in those dresses. Yes, we do.
Yeah, we do. Well, yeah. Yeah. Well,
Make up your own joke, Barry.
I was always more shocked by the fact that right after I did Rocky Horror Picture Show that they cast me as George Washington in this long miniseries on CBS. That's the one that shocked me, that they were, I guess if Rocky Horror had been a big hit when it first came out, I never would be the first president of the United States. But
maybe Jefferson, but not Washington.
Oh, yeah. No, not, yeah, not George. Well, I was only George Washington because I think I'm 6'4" and Washington was 6'3". So I to this day, I say I was only cast because I was the tallest actor walked into the room that day.
Now, it seems like this goes without saying, but I'll make the point anyway, being Captain Obvious, that I would assume no one on that set, while you were doing this in 1974, 1975, had any clue that this film would be resonant, would be important, and would be something exciting all these years later.
You're right, Captain. what we thought was we were making just another movie musical, A Sound of Music for 1975, reflecting the mores and what was going on in the cities and towns of the world, and this sort of glitter rock reflection. And nobody knew what was going to happen. We just, in fact, it had been done on the stage for close to 2 years, and Tim Curry had been doing it for a long time. And I think he was just wanted to get it on film and get it out of the system because he had a recording career that he was working on. And so we did it. It was a very low budget film. We did it just before Christmas, and it was cold and wet and miserable. And look what happened. 44 years later, I'm still talking about it and, promoting the themes of it that I don't think, as you say, Captain, was really what we were thinking about. All we were thinking about was sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
You know, the there had to have been a point, though, when and I assume this comes after with the advent of cable and and VCRs and so forth. But there's a point then when this film takes on another life and has all the midnight showings and becomes participatory. When did that start to come on your radar?
Oh, that a couple of years after we were a big flop. I think, you know, the 8th Street Playhouse and Sal Piro, who sort of was the big promoter of this event or started this sort of celebration and party every weekend downtown New York City. And it grew from there. And I think that was maybe a year and a half after it opened. It was when it first opened in L.A. and a few cities, it actually had a sort of good run. And the producers, Lou Adler, used to go down to the theater and see who was coming in. And then he realized way back then that there were all these repeat customers. And I think that's what sparked this whole thing of, well, let's put it out in the midnight circuit because people have a tendency to come back and back and back if they're, you know, entertained by this movie. And but what he didn't know was that the audience would basically steal the evening from the movie and create this celebration, party, bacchanal, you know, out in front of the screen. And they change really the tone of the movie sometimes by what they yell at us and what they throw at us. And, you know, and so when I go around and occasionally do these screenings, it gives me a chance to yell and throw things back at them.
Which must make you just feel great.
Oh, it does.
Let me ask you this question, which is, it seems that there had to have been the first time that you sort of witnessed that and said, God, what that is, because that really has never happened with another film, that it became this celebration, bacchanal, as you called it. I think that's interesting. There must have been that first time that you witnessed it and said, wow.
Oh, yeah. I think we all of the actors who were in the original movie, we eventually saw it, you know, in one of those environments, and we're just so amused by it and taken with the fact that these people wanted to dress up like us and look like, talk like us, and make fun of us, which was well received by us all. You know, it's you have to have a sense of humor about your work sometimes, and boy, did we have to have a sense of humor about this one.
So does it do you look at it as still of when you take all of the longevity and the fact that it still draws this crowd, do you look at it as something that where the work on screen that you did is something you are proud of?
Oh gosh, yes. No, I think we all are. I certainly am. I'm proud of what it has become to mean and you know, there's this documentary coming out soon called Rocky Horror Saved My Life, and the documentarians went around and interviewed shadow casts all over the world, and some of the stories are so moving because of what this movie has meant to the diehard fans, the shadow casters, but also to just the regular, you know, people who come and see it and have a good time and bring their friends you know, witness what is going on in the theater around the movie. But, you know, it's changed a lot of people's lives because it's made them more aware of who and what they are or could be in terms of their, you know, socialization or their sexuality or they question. I think the movie makes people question so many things in their lives, if you choose to see it that way. If you choose to just get stoned and drunk and go have a good time, God bless you, that's what it's all about, you know. But there's those other people who come up to me and go, you know, it changed my life.
Yeah,
I found a community of friends, of weirdos, and, you know, I can go all over the world and sleep on somebody's couch that, you know, is part of the community. I mean, right now, I think I'm Uncle Barry as in the Rocky Horror community. Mm. But I think I'm the uncle that shows up for every Thanksgiving and is a little drunk on the side.
I also think we can probably get you a hotel when you're in town, Barry. You don't be sleeping on anybody's sofa.
Yeah.
we can probably get your room somewhere. Let me know. We can hook you up somewhere.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah. Now you're going to do a Q&A. You're going to do the introduction to the film, and I imagine many of the questions are the one I've asked. Other people have very specific questions about the character and what the scenes were like. That must be fun, especially when you get a question you've never heard before.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it's always challenging to me because it was 44 years ago. And I barely remember my children's name today, let alone what happened 44 years ago I think we only were there for a month and a half. And, I've learned more about Rocky Horror from all the books that people have written about it and, you know, mentioned what we all did back then. I don't remember a damn thing.
But you, which is typical. I mean, you've been an actor for a very, very long time. You've been in hundreds of things, and you can't expect to remember. And at the time, of course, you didn't expect this to be what it is. So it does... That does stand to reason. Also, I just want to mention that there is an availability if people are interested. They have VIP opportunities to meet you and meet and greet and stuff before the show and a lot of cool things. And I know the city is very, very excited about the showing. And Rocky Horror is always fun. But in this environment, to have you come is really going to be quite a kick. Barry Boswick will appear at the Palace Theater with the Kids of Albany's screening of the Rocky Horror Picture Show. It all happens next Monday at 7 o'clock, and you can find out all about it by going to palacealbany.org. Palacealbany.org.
I got to say, the Kids of Albany are one of the best casts in the country. I've known them for a while, and they are so professional and fun and creative, and they just make a wonderful evening. So come down, see us, and yell horrible things at me.
Well, it sounds like a blast. Barry Boswick, what a pleasure. I appreciate you being here, and we look forward to having you in town.
Well, good. Me too.
Thanks
so
much.
Say hello.
I will indeed. PalaceAlbany.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.